Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me today is my father, Jesse Worsham. How are you on this fine day, Father?
A little tired. I'm coming off of 2 weeks of watching your children.
Yes.
I need the Red Bull, a little caffeine, keep me pumped.
Loaded up.
I should be taking a nap.
Here's the thing. When I say that my kids went with my parents for 2 weeks, everybody's like, wait, what? It's a mixed bag. You get people that go, are they safe? Which is a very interesting thing for me. And then
they weren't safe. We were in Mexico.
Oh my gosh. Well,
Cozumel, they really loved it.
Cozumel. You're so lucky that, you know what I mean?
Yes, you get it is a mixed bag.
It is. Evidently. Oh, and there's a football game going on. Anyway, so why is it that you would tell me, hey, can we take the kids for a couple weeks?
Well, as a parent, it's like, hey, I'll give you a little bit of a break. You and your wife can go do and relax. And it's fun for us to have the kids. We get into all kinds of stuff.
So you do it for us?
Yeah.
For Natalie.
And for myself, yeah.
So it is. So is there a percentage?
It's a two-edged sword.
But what's the percentage?
The excuse starts out with, we're doing it for you.
Okay.
But see, once we reel it in, we got him hooked.
There it is.
And it's all us.
There it is. Okay. That's all I just wanted
to
know.
Take a break. Enjoy the 2 weeks.
Yeah. You guys have some
sleep in.
Well, thank you. It was very enjoyable, I got to admit. But for me, the most enjoyable part was watching them have fun with you guys. But we'll get into that because I want to dissect this a little bit more. I don't know. Well, here's the thing. Maybe you can't talk about it here on the show, but I don't think I have. So when I was in Branson, Missouri doing stand-up, after the show, I talk about having kids.
Right.
And then somebody came up to me and they said, we're actually grandparents. And we love that because the kids shows I talk about, and like Secret Agent Oso and stuff on my album, they said, you know, we watch those with our daughter or our granddaughter. And they said, one of the things that's funny is that she says, our daughter brings the kid to him. She goes, you'll see this when you're a grandparent. She brings the kid to us and says, do you have any questions? And it's very interesting to me because here's the thing. We ran into this when Jacob was a babe. There was time where Natalie had to work, and then I was going to be gone on the road for a couple weeks. Right. So we actually had dueling mother-in-laws. So we had Natalie's mom come in for a week, and then we had mom come in for a week.
Right.
And the difference was night and day. We had what Kevin lovingly called Utter Pops, which was Natalie's frozen breast milk in the freezer. And my mother-in-law went through an entire shelf of those little baggies. I'm going to guess, this is a long time now, 7 years ago, but I'm going to guess ballpark it at least 40 ounces. At least 40 ounces of breast milk. And he was probably taking in 10 to or 6 ounces. Like it felt like a week's worth, but Natalie was still coming home and pumping.
Right.
And it's because my mother-in-law, not to discredit her, I've done that plenty of times on the show as it is, but this is not an attack at her.
We're holding back today.
But no, she comes from the school of thought, if the baby's upset, feed the baby kind of thing. And one of the things.
Yeah, but in all fairness, too, your mom is the great child whisperer,
yes,
or whatever.
She is.
Her voice, her presence is just calming to them. And she brings out in them a kidding, playful, she does crazy stuff. I mean, yeah. I do crazy stuff. She does crazy stuff.
But what I found interesting is, in the same light, what I'm talking about is that she came in and said, what's the routine and what are the signals? Like, she actually came in and said, give me the shortcuts. Whereas my mother-in-law didn't bother with that.
I'll take it.
There's a very famous story when Jacob was a baby, and he was kind of fussy because he was tired, and she wanted to hold him. And Natalie kept saying, just leave him alone. She goes, I think he's hungry. I think he's hungry. She goes, no, I think he's fine. We would do a thing. We worked out to where, you know how you'll feed a baby and then it'll spit up at when you burp it? We figured out that when he just spit up a little tiny bit, right? We tried it, and we would just, that's when we'd kind of cut it off. And usually that meant that he would never have the huge vomit. And right. he was content. He was maintaining weight and very happy. He would sleep long enough.
If you just observe
right.
and watch and be mindful, even when they're not talking, they're going to show you what they need or whatever. But we as adults are always, we got it. We're going to fix it.
We're smarter than this flesh slug.
Yes.
Yeah. So what happened was she went to go change him, and my nieces went with her, and I came into the room to grab something, and Jacob was on his back on a dresser while he was being changed, and then one of the nieces was giving him a bottle, which I guess you're not supposed to feed him a bottle while they're lying flat on their back, I guess. So I came in, and I told Natalie, because I'm like, she's not going to kill him, but I want Natalie to know, because that's my way of passive-aggressively, I guess, sicking my wife on my mother-in-law.
Get him.
And so she comes back in.
Honey, she's doing it wrong.
And Natalie goes, Mom, you can't keep feeding him because he's going to spit up everywhere. And we had, you remember the cloth diapers? Yeah. We had like, so it's like maybe 8 by 8 inches.
Right.
She had one of those, but my mother-in-law was wearing a very nice, it was like a kind of a knit shirt that would have really been hyper-absorbed. It would have been a ShamWow for that spit up. And I was really looking forward to it.
Cannon has been loaded.
Yep, at 5 minutes. And it was all her doing. And 5 minutes had maybe gone by, and then literally she, Natalie, we kind of forgotten about what had happened, and Natalie goes, oh, just give him to me. And in the passing, as soon as he hit his mother's bosom,
purged
all over her, oh my gosh, it was everywhere. And Natalie was so pissed, so pissed. And so it's that thing where I'm sure that there are grandparents out there who were like, I got this. You don't need me. And it is mildly insulting for us parents to go to a grandparent and go, is there anything I can teach you about rearing a child?
Yeah, how does yours work?
Like, yeah, exactly. Do you...
They're all different. Your model, how does it work? They're all different.
You have to have an awkward sit down where you say to them, here are the things that I feel that you messed up with me. And so we're doing that differently. And by differently, I mean much better.
Much, much better.
So maybe it's because we've never had a moment, although I had like a nanosecond of a moment. Oh, my God. Shut up with the computer. I had a nanosecond of a moment on this trip where, because my brother got me good. He sent me a picture of my older son. My brother chews tobacco, has his entire.
You fell for it. You should have known.
I should have.
Yeah.
So the minute I saw it, here's the thing that I thought was weird was the look on his face. And I didn't understand why does he have that look on his face? I guess I would have been less bothered by it if he was smiling while putting dip in his mouth.
Rich was poking at him to getting him to do the perfect,
picture.
Perfect
yes.
face.
Yes. And it was. And
it worked.
Here's what happened. It made my brain crash because I at first I was like, why would they do that?
Well, not only that, but you also received it later in the evening
yes.
after he went home, and the kids would have, you know,
I was going to bed right. when it happened. So anyway, I was just sitting there, and I'm like, I had this nanosecond moment. I'm like, why would they give him chewing tobacco? I never did anything like that to his kid, like, or whatever. And I'm like, oh, it must be a joke. Or whatever, like it has to be a joke. But there is a part of me that likes the idea that they go away from us and they go up there and they get to interact with entirely different people. As much as my brother and sister and I are a part of the same family, they're still my stepbrother and stepsister. And as much as I feel that I love them the same as I would if we had grown up together, there is a difference. Well, and I don't chagrin that difference. I think it's a good thing. I think it's nice that they get to go hang out.
It's like a different world.
Right. So it didn't bother me, but I just wanted to, but it was funny to me. The part that I was curious about was that Jacob has such a weak gag reflex that I was shocked he could even hold it to his face like that. And then my brother told me, he goes, it took us forever to stage because he kept saying it stank.
He wasn't going to do it. He was just fighting.
So anyway, sorry, I took us off the rails there. But I want to know, has any of us ever said anything that you're like, yeah, we know?
Not said anything, but did. I guess it's your sister is, you know, was some of the worst or whatever, because she'd lay out like list of foods to eat, not eat, won't do this, won't do that, you know, changing them clothes. And it's just when they're with us, it's a different world. We just throw everything out the window and do whatever the hell they want to do.
Yeah. And I don't know if it makes me a bad parent, but I feel like that's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing. That was how I grew up going to my grandparents because...
No, but your grandparents weren't as loose as you
not were. As cool as we are. No.
How do you say, nay, nay, I say unto thee?
Nay, nay, I say unto thee. These people were straight. Yeah. But no, but to us, it was a huge bowl of candy and stuff like that. And you could do, you know... But it with us, with these kids, all of our grandkids, it was opportunities for them to do things that they weren't allowed or wouldn't be able to do at home.
Because period. I feel like that's the way the system is supposed to be, right? It's
yeah.
And maybe that's just because it was kind of the way I grew up.
I take it a little bit beyond that because I'd like to push limits.
But here's the thing. You are able to do things with them that I, as a father, can't in a way that I, here's the thing. You are able to do things in a way that I can't do them as their father because you're the grandfather. And I feel like
correct.
That's the way it should be. Like,
correct.
You should be fun, go goof around, right. No rules.
Right.
But if I
well,
ran...
certain rules, yes.
But still, pretty, I mean, pretty lax.
Safety first, yeah.
Safety debatable.
Yeah.
You wanna, let's have the safety talk, Dad. Was it 18 months or two when my son was firing a nail gun from 9 feet above?
18 months.
On an exposed wall.
He was a good nailer.
He did good.
He was a good nailer.
And again... I would be lying if I didn't sit there and go, oh, I hope he doesn't fall. But I tell myself, I go, he's fine. He's fine. He's going to be better for it. Let it go, dude. But
that's, I think that's a job of a parent.
Right. So when he comes back, I'm the one who I establish boundaries yeah. for life and keep it
out.
Very tight.
And I blow them out.
And when you get to blow them out.
Blow them out.
And the more that I stay where mm-hmm. mine is, I think it makes it even more fun. And everybody wins. They still get to go have fun. They get to push the boundaries, try other things that they wouldn't get to do in the same way as they would with me.
Well, and especially for these two little guys, because they come from Burbank to the mountains.
Yeah.
Which is, it's like night and day. You know, and they're able to, they roam around outside, they do whatever, and people don't bother them. There's nobody there.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's wilderness.
It's funny what also bothers different people is that, here's the thing, I'm going to say this, but I don't want you to think that it actually really does bother her. For me, the same moment of like the nail gun that makes her go, he's fine. The idea of our kids wandering around in the woods.
Yeah.
Is makes her go, what if a coyote comes? There's not a fucking coyote that's going to come.
Well, there is, but we've taught them how to wrestle them.
Wrestle coyotes, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I think that this is something that is unique to my generation of parenting. We talked about it with How to Raise an Adult with Julie Lithcott-Hames. If you have not heard that episode, please check it out and definitely get that book because I think it's pretty mind-blowing. There's a couple of like high profile things that happened when I was a kid and it made everybody super worried about stranger danger and everything. And then now a lot of parents are super overprotective of their children.
I think parents are way over super protective. But that again, that's their job, but you still have to balance it. I mean, if you're going to be super overprotective and this kid's not going to have this experience, you're not going to have to deal with this. Where do you draw the line? Where do you stop? Where does it become where that child can now react to this? If
right.
you keep doing that, they're just going to be your little flesh slugs.
Well, let's take what may or may not be a commercial break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what I think is probably the furthest you could push that limit right after this. All right, we are back. And so the kids went up with you for 2 weeks. And right. they, when we told them they were going with you for 2 weeks, one of the things Jacob said that he didn't necessarily proclaim it. He just kind of said to me, he goes, you know, we're going to shoot guns
yes.
when we go there.
Well, he'd been after me for a year.
Yeah, you showed him turkeys that were just walking around the porch area of the right. cabin that were wild turkeys.
Well, Jack wanted me to pin one up so they could
Yeah, both
shoot
of them wanted to get up there. They thought you were going to capture them and save them.
Right. And then let them shoot
them. And then let them shoot them like fish in a barrel. become the great white hunter that they are.
The great white hunter. I've killed the turkey.
I've conquered this beast.
He's dead.
And it's funny to me that it doesn't bother me. There's a part of me that wonders if it should. It does not bother me that they want to go shoot a gun, because I remember as a kid liking to do it, but I wasn't uber obsessed with it, right?
Not uber obsessed, but again, you have to look at it. You had opportunity. There was guns and stuff around in the house. You saw me shoot, or, you know, things. So it was more accessible to you as a reality. For them, it's not an everyday occurrence to see an adult or anybody firing or shooting a gun or doing anything with it. So it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it is a different experience.
So my dad, Jacob went up there and he said, I want to shoot a gun. And my dad said, well, hold on. If you're going to shoot a gun, he gave them each a couple BB guns and let them.
BB guns that they have to practice. They have to show safety concerns. And so you start out with BB guns.
Going back to what we were talking about early on in the show, I was actually impressed, because I would have thought you would have just gone, here's a 22. Let's go do it, boy. I don't know why.
Your mother made me do it.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay. Because it was funny.
It was worth it, though, wasn't it? Yeah. You thought it.
It was funny because it's, again, the fun thing about, for my angle of this kind of parenting and then seeing you as a grandfather, even though I saw it with my nieces and nephews, but it is kind of different when it's your kids. But the big thing when I was younger, because there's such a big age difference between, you know, my stepbrother and stepsister, that their kids, like, were, I was still a teenager when Tyler, the oldest grandson, was born, right?
Right.
Well, and it was this very weird thing to be a teenager and kind of be sort of at odds with your father and have him kind of ride your ass. And then this baby shows up and he's just constantly just fucking around with it and just jovial. It was a very weird juxtaposition for me. Like, I was like, who the hell is this guy? And, so I've seen that, but it's different to where I didn't think twice about the kids going up and shooting guns with you. I didn't think that they would be unsafe ever for an instant. And so the idea, though, of you saying, do it with a BB gun. And then once I know you could be safe with that, I was like, wow, that's really smart, actually. I didn't think of that. And
well, you start to ingrain them on safety issues, and you can...
Yeah, because if they take a BB to the leg, it's a lot easier than a 22.
Yeah, it's going to sting, but it's not going to really draw blood all that much. But you get them ingrained in practicing safety.
Yeah.
And then once they go up to a larger gun or whatever, then, I mean, you still have to watch them, but it's not as an acute as it would be if you just pull that trigger and watch it go off.
And
gives them practice. They start. You brought them up on Friday. The 30th, 31st. They started shooting BB guns, and now Jacob was very upset because he couldn't hit a target. And then once he gleaned in on the sights and making it work, then it was like yeehaw. He had discovered the secret.
He loved it.
Oh, he loved it.
So how many days was he with the BB gun before he shot a 22?
5 days.
All right. And what's really cool that I like about the story is I didn't know this at the time, but the full story is that it's a little 22 kind of pump action rifle.
It's a Winchester pump 22.
And it was the first gun you shot, because it belonged to my grandfather, your father,
correct,
obviously.
Correct.
And then it was the first gun that I shot that wasn't a BB gun.
Right.
Same kind of thing.
Right.
And that's the other thing, is that I'm sure that was maybe the same thing you did, because I remember screwing around with BB guns, though, in the backyard. And this is like wooden fences.
Yeah.
I remember I put had to have been a 4-foot hole in a sliding glass door, because I would try and shoot birds in the backyard, and I'd put,
bing, bing.
And I would do the dumb thing of putting like 10 BBs, like, to try to make buckshot as a kid. So stupid. And I remember you had called us in for lunch. I don't even know if I ever told you this story. You called us in for lunch and I pointed it down at the ground, but I pulled the trigger a little too soon and just made it right over the top of the roof of the fence line through a tree. And then you hear, and all me and my two friends were like, yeah. So we went inside, just quickly ate. And then
we were eating lunch at that time.
We went into the front yard.
Window shattered.
And we went into the front yard and we were playing football. And then this guy came around. And he goes, "Hey, if you guys know anybody who's playing with like a slingshot or a BB gun or something?" And we're like, "No,
nope.
And I mean, come on, we're 10. There's no way that we were that good at lying. That guy probably just saw right through it and goes, "Damn it." And it's a different time. It's a different. I saw an interesting article. There's a great show. If you're not watching it on Netflix, you should check it out. But it's not kid friendly unless you're my kind of parents. In that Jacob watched a little bit of it with me and he really liked it. But it's called Stranger Things. It's a big hit. It's everybody's talking about it. And there's an article. Maybe I'll bring it up at a later show. But there's an article that talks about how different parenting was because these kids are riding their bikes to each other's houses by themselves in the woods, no supervision.
Well, I have often said my parents, if they were raising children today, would be in prison.
Yeah,
because we were allowed to do insanely dangerous things to today's standards. Not so big of a deal then.
But you said that when I was a kid,
right?
And to think that it's even
and I'm tenfold over that.
If I did what you did,
yes,
I would go to jail.
We'd all be in jail. they take the children from us at the right time.
Yes, exactly.
Just out of prison.
So I think that in the 80s, this guy was probably just looking at it like, you know, I don't know. I'm sure he didn't seem too pissed. I remember that.
No, but I mean, it was, again, it was a different time and people just, I don't know, sort of expected it maybe.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, so let's go back to Jacob and the gun. So then, so he shoots the .22. That was the first gun that I shot. Right. So you take him and he goes in and shoots it. And what was that like?
Just the gleam on his face when he pulled the trigger and this thing went pop. And the can was just, you know, moved and dirt flashed up. And then he goes to the can and there's a hole in it.
He hit the can on his first shot?
Yeah.
From how far away?
Yeah, 10, 15 feet.
That's not bad.
No, he got, but you have to consider too, they had went through over 1,000 BBs and pellets prior to this. I mean, they were shooting 4 or 5 hours a day.
There's probably a 15-foot wide, like kind of exposed area up at this porch, and they had every inch of it lined with cans. And then there was another like standing target that it looked like cooking spoons that you would hit and they would spin around or something.
Yeah.
You go to an amusement park and they got the little infrared guns.
There you go.
You set that up, but it was with BBs.
That was in my backyard.
You always have a really great way of articulating these things for me whenever I get kind of mildly insecure about this kind of stuff. So what would you say to me and anyone listening that am I making my son the kind of person who's going to climb to the top of a water tower or he's going to walk through a school because I let him shoot guns and he loves it?
No, it's...
I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I know, but it's hard to say. The guns or anything that you do, and I look at it probably differently than anybody else. It is a point of self-esteem that he has accomplished this. Not only can he fire the gun, he can hit what he's aiming at. And I look at it on all of his kids around him. There's probably not one that has just done what he did for the last week. There's not a kid at school or anything else. So that raises it above. But at the same point, he's learned this skill and he respects it. So there's not a fear of going crazy or grabbing a gun and going out and blowing this up or that up or whatever. It wasn't a point of killing something. It was a point of hitting a target, being accurate, and watching it blow up. You know, it was never wanting to
It's more redneck than crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I knew you'd do it.
And to watch him analyze and understand the power that weapon has. And then I took a water bottle. And, you know, because I was trying to explain, I said, this just explodes things. So he took a .410 shotgun, shot this water bottle, and it just disintegrated. And the look on his eyes, you thought he just won a prize or whatever. But then he goes out and he collects up this water bottle pieces. It's all gone. And it was amazing because he went from a .22 to a little .410 shotgun. And he was having a blast with the shotgun. And it's something I don't say, here, shoot this. I just ask questions. I said, are you comfortable with this? You want to try something else? And I carry a .45 semi-automatic pistol.
Yeah. My dad has a concealed carry permit. Yes.
But he's shooting the shotgun. I said, you're doing great. And he's just having fun. And this, I mean, it's a 410, but it kicks pretty good.
Jacob, I think everybody would understand, and it's fair to say, that Jacob is a fairly timid kid as far as being adventurous.
He shocked the living hell out of
me. Yeah, I saw the video of what you're about to describe, and I was blown away,
that kid,
for lack of a better way of putting
that
it.
That kid was just a changed person from just a year ago or whatever. But he had shot, and he kept shooting the shotgun, and I figured one or two shots, he'd be done. Because the shotgun kicks, and he was, you know, he was holding it against his shoulder. He was throwing him back, and he was just giggling and going crazy every time he shot something and blew up a box or whatever. So I asked him, I said, is there, you know, what else you want? He says, I want to shoot your gun. I said, well, that's a little bit different. He goes, no. He says, I want to shoot your gun. I said, okay, but I said, this is going to jump. It's going to kick hard. You got to really hold on to it tight. When he put that in his hands, pointed it down range, pulled the trigger, and that thing kicked. He let out a giggle and just went crazy.
So that,
and I couldn't get him to stop then. I mean, he literally, if I would have had 14 clips of magazines there, he would have burned them all up. And that's 10 bullets. So 140 bullets, he just boom, 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 boom. And giggle and just have a... Oh,
and the video that I saw of it is the gun. I was thoroughly impressed with.
Oh, I was highly, because you saw that was the second day that he had done. Now you have to consider he's now the first day he went through about 30 rounds with the 45. The second day he went through another four clips, so that's 40 rounds. And then I had him shoot the revolver, the 357. He was actually getting to the point where he was hitting the target and stuff that he was controlling the recoil and everything. He could come back on the target, pull the trigger, and hit it.
Yeah, I was watching. There was a day I remember as a kid where you took me up to the mountain, same kind of thing. I shot a 22 handgun that you had, and right. Then we went up to the 357, and then right. You had a 44 handgun. And I remember you telling me, line it up, but then move your head because you don't want it to kick back and hit you in the face because that'll hurt.
You got to really.
And I shot it twice.
It was like I was there almost with a hand over his head to swat the gun down or whatever.
For the first day?
But he had it. I was flabbergasted.
I bet.
I mean, just to see him, because a year earlier, he was afraid of, you know, loud noises and being cut off from anybody. He was on top of the world. It was like he was 10 foot tall, bulletproof.
Well, it's funny to watch him shoot all these guns, and the recoil is so strong, he takes like a half step backwards.
Each time he pulls
each
the trigger.
Each time, and then
he steps right forward, pulls the trigger again.
And keeps his arms straight, really solid. Like I was thoroughly impressed. It was a very, very cool thing as a father to be able to see. And so I said earlier, but thank you again for doing that, because that was, I think, a very cool thing that it will be very unlikely that he will ever forget
that's
that
ingrained,
for the rest of his life.
That's ingrained in his life forever.
Yeah. And I also bring it up because I think there are some people listen to the show for entertainment value, and then there sometimes every once in a while it happens where you get a little idea or, you know, maybe I never thought of that. And I think your theory or your idea of not doing things or letting a kid do something that no other kid would do
self-esteem.
As a self-esteem builder is a really solid thing, because I saw it happen just in the small thing of giving him a rope in the backyard when he was younger, and just the transformation that happened when I put the pool in and watched him slowly kind of overcome his fear of water. And then the same thing with his little brother. Now we got the bigger pool in the backyard and they're completely comfortable with it. And then I never would have imagined to see him shoot that gun the way he did.
Not and repeatedly. Dude.
Yeah. And I'm
not, this was not two or three trigger pulls and okay, I'm done. This was, do you have another clip? Do you have another
Let's
clip?
Let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
So now I have to and find now, a place in now, Los Angeles.
But in all, he's coming back at Christmas time and we're going to reload and he's going to learn how to reload ammunition.
Oh boy.
Because he kept asking me, he says, why are you saving the casings? I said, I'm going to reload them. Okay, we get to make bullets at Christmas time. I said, yeah, sure.
Jesus. So how is it, though, that you
can... And his next goal now is to shoot the 12-gauge shotgun. He's a little too small for that yet.
How is it that you, at any point when you're doing this, are you concerned for his safety?
No, because I'm right there watching.
Okay.
But again, you cannot just go here.
Yeah.
You have to lead up to it or give them some guidelines and stuff. And even, okay, he's been shooting these several days, but you still have to be there to go,
yeah,
and correct, you know, and things of that nature. So it's, and each individual child is different, much, much different.
Yeah. All right, let's take another quick break, and then we'll come back and talk some more. All right. All right, we are back, and thank you again, Dad, for doing that with the boy. Now, here's I wanted to talk about this because we, Natalie and I, got an opportunity just because of my connection with the radio station, and it's been a while since we've done one of these segments. I'm trying to bring back this idea of segments, so you, the listener, let me know what you think of it. If you hate it, you love it, or whatever, send me an email, but this is a little date night. It's time for date night, where we talk about things other than being dads. Gonna do our best. No promises. Probably won't be that hard. So Natalie and I got to go see that. I talked a little bit about it with you. We got to go see the Sausage Party movie.
Oh, yes.
Which I'm sure you guys have heard of. And it. Let me just put it to you this way. I think if you like the humor of the show, I think you will love this movie. And
I hope so. It's in my neck.
Oh my gosh!
Right now,
it is a great.
Is your mom gonna get like this?
She's gonna love it.
She's gonna go hysterical.
Here's the thing. During this 2-week trip that you, while the kids were with you, Natalie and I really got to just hang out and do what we wanted to do. And one of the things
that's why we do it.
I appreciate it. One of the things that cracked me up is that I had kind of forgotten just exactly how sick my wife's sense of humor is. I mean, just
until you watch this movie.
Just disgusting.
Or did you watch her watch the movie?
A little bit of both.
Yeah, see? Like,
it's this thing where it's like you watching Jacob, hearing Jacob make that. He did this. He goes, ha-ha, maybe I'll turn it into a drop. Like I'll get the audio off
there
later.
There you go.
But anyway, because it is, you hear this, goosh, he goes, ha-ha. It sounds like he grew hair on his balls, too, when it happened.
Instantaneous.
Yeah. But anyway, Natalie has a very similar laugh that she does. Any kind of movies are great to her if there's some kind of ball trauma or somebody's getting flung around. Like if you've seen, what movie was it recently? The Boss. There's a scene where she gets flung across a room and hits a wall. And that shit just, oh, my God, it just makes her day. So Sausage Party is so vulgar. And so just irreverent and inappropriate that, and they're saying fuck so many times. And
I'm actually looking forward to it from the description.
You will love it. You will love it. Now, if you are in any way easily offended, A, I don't know how you can listen to this show, but B, do not go because you probably won't like it. I said this exact same thing on the Bill Handel show and then also Wake Up Call, which is our earlier show that they sent me and asked me to kind of review it, to talk about it before it came out. And I said that this show was made for Bill Handel because he loves, there's a lot of like Palestinian and Jew jokes in the movie. And it has a really heavy, here's the thing. It's like taking 13 to 15 year old boy humor, right, with the vulgarity and the sex and all that stuff. But then underneath it is a really strong subtext about religion and culture and society as a whole. It's very, very, they did a very, very smart thing in making it kind of heady at the same time. But in case you didn't want the message, you could still enjoy all of the sexual innuendo and just the tip jokes like there's no tomorrow. I mean, it's a hot dog who's excited to get to stick into a bun. That's a major plot point in the movie. And so anyway, I just wanted to say I cannot suggest that enough that you go check it out. And it's a great date night opportunity. It's a great way to get out, watch an animated film that is not made for your children and something you haven't seen 18 times. And I was the guy who, before I saw it, who was like, I'm going to take my kids to go see it. I cannot take them to go see this. I'm not.
You were drawing the line.
I was. Yeah. It's oh, well, it's like you said. So side. Here's the other thing. This is the other thing that happened while they were at Grandpa and Vavas. They watched The Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight.
They watched The Hateful Eight.
Dirty Grandpa.
Yes. So.
And Risen, all basically.
Risen. What is Risen?
It's a the crucifixion of Christ.
Oh, the Jesus story.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. We tried to cover all bases of mankind there.
Well done, Father. It was a real cultural trip for them. Now, the what they took from Dirty Grandpa, if I'm not mistaken, this is the one Robert De Niro and Zach. Yes, yeah. I guess somebody Jack's. Gets a thumb. And so,
but Jack takes it instead of a thumb because if he tells his fava, you got a big ass. I'm using four fingers, not just a thumb. That's his logic. And he told her she'd argue with him. He goes, "Nope, your ass is big. I'm using four fingers."
I shouldn't have brought this up
from Jack
because I think it kind of steps on the credibility. What we're talking about earlier is just leaving the kids with you. You know, the last time they took a trip with you and they came back, they came home with a bunch of beads and Jack Natalie,
Mardi Gras beads.
Yes, Natalie, but they weren't Mardi Gras. They were from your company,
right? But it was a Mardi Gras theme.
Okay. So anyway, Jack goes to school, and I came to pick him up, and I asked one of the teachers, how was your day? She goes, oh, very good. I learned how you get beads. I was like, oh, jeez. And I said, and this is the part that's even funnier, that is that I have to explain to them, that's my mother.
That's your mom.
Don't
put that on me.
So, but within 20 minutes of the kids being home, I got to see Jack trying to shove his hand up my mother's butt while she was on the phone.
It was his favorite thing because that's what he drew from the movie. Now, Hateful Eight, I don't know if anybody's seen it. It's a pretty gruesome.
It's a Quentin Tarantino movie with.
Yeah, and they're blowing people's heads off of guns. And now we're coming right off of, you know, learning to shoot and everything. Here's Hateful Eight. And they're giggling at these heads exploding, not because they're being shot, because it just splatters everything all over. And it's funny. I mean, that there was. It's different to watch them process
now,
and we don't give them any interpretation or whatever. They run with it. If they ask a question, we answer it. But it's the same with you. I mean, you saw R-rated movies when you were younger. I never kept that away from you. But if you take a subject and you don't really amplify it, process it. Do not by any means make it taboo. They deal with it, go on, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Really funny because I guess that the reason why they think it's funny to watch a head blow up is because I've beaten into them that it's all makeup and it's not they're not really watching somebody die.
No. And they understand it and they look at it. It's an aspect of special effects.
Yeah.
And it's also, I think they really get it because now the special effects with heads, you know, before when I was a kid, somebody got shot, they had a little red stain on their shirt. Now heads explode and all,
so they
really like the realism of it.
Right. Then I want to, because the kids have been gone for a couple weeks, so doing a moment of the week is kind of rough. I'm going to be honest, though. It's the shooting, watching that video of Jacob take those shots. And then also hearing about Jack walking around. He couldn't hold a rifle BB gun, so he would just walk up to a can. You got him a handgun?
A little handgun CO2, yeah.
And so he'd just walk up to the
can. Like Dirty Harry. He'd just walk and just laugh his ass off. I got it!
It's also funny to me that when they come home, here's the thing. We are loose with the language here, all right? So I don't want to say, like, I'm pinning on Vavon Grandpa. But when they come home, man, they were letting loose some language that even I was like, listen, you got to go to school in 2 days. And I like...
Clean it out.
It makes me laugh so hard that when they come back from Grandma and Grandpa's that there has to be a detox period to get back. You have to become...
3 days.
Reintegrated into 3 days. Society.
This is what the other grown-ups will learn.
Here's some. So what I want to do kind of in place of Moment of the Week, not to take out Moment of the Week. We'll still do it every episode. So everybody calm down. Stop penning your emails and tweets. But this is something I also want to start doing regularly. And it's a little something I call brain food.
Things that make you go,
You want brain food?
I did not know that.
And knowing is half the battle.
Brain food. What exactly does that mean?
So this comes to us from all of those crime dramas. There's where that fate comes in. Excuse me. You know the CSI shows where they yes. have the John Doe and all that stuff. You ever right. remember John Doe when is the term we use for an unidentified body? Do you have any idea where that came from, Father?
No.
I would have assumed that you would have known this.
I've not known that many John Does.
Well, that's true. I first thought that DOE probably stood for something like dead on. Yes, that's what I thought. I'm like dead on exemption. Like I was trying to.
Well,
think
no, but we because of working in a hospital, DOE yes. dead on arrival.
Dead on arrival. So here's the actual where it comes from. It comes from the Old England times. And that the tenant law, so the law pertaining to a landlord and a tenant, was so complex that if you ever had an issue with somebody that you needed to evict them, that's how you handle things. Yes. If you needed to evict them or figure out how you could sue them for the rent, or if they're squatting on your land, what they would do, because nobody understood the law, is that they would bring a case to court, but they would have a fake plaintiff and a fake defendant. So in a sense, they would waste tax dollars and money.
Just act it out.
To get a junior college course in tenant law. And so what they would usually use is they would use John Doe for the plaintiff and Richard Roe for the defendant. And so they're both deer. Like Doe is a female deer. And then a roe is a term for a special deer that's in. Oh, I had this right here. I can't remember. They had the name of the deer. But anyway, so that's what they would do. And then it carried over here to the States. And so even today, they will use. So if you have a John Doe, you have a Jane Doe. And then if you have two John Does, that won't work. So they use a John Doe and then a Richard Roe is what they use for the second name. That's pretty interesting, yeah, right? Yeah. In fact, Roe v. Wade, the famous abortion case here in the States, Roe was used to protect the name of the lady. What was her name? Megan? Something McClevy. I wish I would have. I had the thing, and then it went away from me right here. I had it right here in front of me.
But that was why the Roe was.
That's why the Roe was in Roe v. Wade.
To protect her.
It was to protect her name, but then she later released her name.
Yeah, some 20 years later.
Afterwards, it's going to bother me if I don't say it out loud. People are probably yelling it while they're on a treadmill right now. Norma Lee McCorvey. Norma Leah McCorvey.
They Google faster than you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's our little brain food, and that concludes this week's episode. We got an episode with Dr. J coming up, so we're going to be recording that on Tuesday. This obviously comes out on Monday, so if you have a question you want for Dr. J and you're listening to this on a Monday, shoot it to me. If you are not listening to this on a Monday, shoot it to me, and we'll get to it in about 4 weeks when Dr. J comes back. What else can I tell you? Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. If you want to follow me on Twitter, for all of the Twitter handles are in the description of this episode. You can also join the fan group at Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. That's a Facebook fan group where you can talk and chat with other like-minded parents, share funny pictures, ask questions for advice. Because if you need some like-minded people in your social circle, then people who listen to the show are pretty like-minded. And here's the thing. I think that we are the majority because I get so many people who listen to the show and like, I thought I was the only one. Adam always disagreed with me on this point, but I think we are the majority. I think the majority of parents feel this way, but we're all kind of.
I think you're becoming the majority. You're coming out of things that didn't work and problems, and I think it's
of overthinking it.
Yeah.
I want to have that guy calm the fuck down back on the show. So anyway, that's where you could go talk to other like-minded parents there at, again, Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. It's a Facebook group, and our good old friend, Butcher Drew.
All right.
Runs that for us. You could listen live to the show, mixlr.com/dadpodcast. It's a free app. You could put on your phone or go to the website. You hit follow. Once you follow the show, whenever I broadcast live, you will get an email knowing that it's happened. If you missed this episode, we did not live stream this one because I just wanted to jump in here to a show with my dad. Don't forget to go to the dadpodcast.com. Scroll to the bottom. There's an Amazon banner. When you click on that link, make that your Amazon link when you're buying all of your back to school stuff. Our guys are going back to school Monday. Ooh. Oh, summer is over, people. But when you're buying all those bullshit lists, the only thing that could save you from the misery of having to donate for 87% of the school supplies is that maybe you can find some sweet respite to know that 5 to 10% of that money will go to help me.
All right, please.
On behalf of my father, Jesse Worsham, this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.